Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Lineup Logic Podcast. And we are here in the first ever edition of Lineup Logic MLB. Happy to be here with you guys. This is, of course, the inaugural, the first ever, the one and only Lineup Logic Major League Baseball podcast, switching ourselves over to MLB DFS on FanDuel. I am Sean Kane. I am your host. I hope you had a great Easter weekend. Enjoyed the baseball, enjoyed the playoff basketball. I know I'm enjoying the playoff basketball and not really tilting the end of the regular season. It was just crazy at the end there, but we have some awesome breakdowns for MLB here. MLB has just been an absolute blast so far. So in the next hour, we will preview the slate to come in Major League Baseball tonight for the main slate on FanDuel. Of course, there is an all-day slate that includes the 11 o'clock game. In fact, it already began, so forget it. That Rays-Red Sox game. But we are going to talk about the main slate, the 7 o'clock slate here on this show. We're going to talk matchups. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk weather. We'll talk pitching matchups. Possible rotation injury news, whatever the case may be. And then we'll break down players to target on the slate upcoming. Before we do that, though, I want to say thank you guys for the NBA season. It was wonderful. And of course, if you're listening to the show, you're new to the show, we originally are an NBA pod, but we're a DFS pod network, and we have a community of listeners over there on patreon.com/lineuplogic, where we offer a daily cheat sheet analytics product, as well as a premium chat feature for any listeners of the show who will want to donate $10 to the show on a monthly basis. We do this pod 6 days a week. We do the cheat sheet 6 days a week. We are a community of regular guy DFS players who are trying to take a little cash back from the Sharks. Thank you to all the loyal Lineup Logic listeners. If you're turning over from NBA, we're going to help you get there. You know, start small. And, you know, if you're not used to MLB, you're an NBA guy, you're saying, I don't know about this, Sean. Start small, man. MLB is fun. It is super duper fun, and you're going to enjoy it, and you're supposed to have fun with it. If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. Let's jump into the breakdown for tonight. Okay, so, similar to what we did in the NBA show, I'm going to go through the matchups, I'll go through the weather situation, and I'll give you guys the Vegas line here. First game of the night, we've got the White Sox going to the Yankees, 7 o'clock start. No negative weather concerns here in this one, but we have a nice 68 degrees, and we have wind blowing out at 15 miles per hour out to right field. And we know the Yankee Stadium is a great hitter's park as it is. So maybe take a little bit of exposure to this White Sox-Yankees game. 8.5 run total here. And the Yankees are favored in a matchup with features Derek Holland for the White Sox, the lefty, against Jordan Montgomery, the lefty of the Yankees. So not exactly a pitcher's duel, but also both of these lineups kind of struggling to find their bats recently. So, definitely something to think about. However, you could think about those Yankees righties for sure at a nice matchup in home in a plus weather situation. Pirates at Cardinals. The Pirates coming off that series against the Cubs. No weather in this one. 69 degrees, a little bit of wind, it's only 6 miles per hour, negligible. An 8-run total in this one. Ivan Nova going up against Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn lit up in his last start against the Nationals. You wish that there were some more lefty bats that you could go with on the Pirates, but there's just not that many here, and the Cards bats really not doing a whole lot these days. So, not my favorite game for DFS, but GPP viable for sure. Padres at Braves. Nice night here. 75 degrees, 55% humidity in Atlanta in the new stadium. This is, I think, the last game of this series, if I remember correctly. We have 8.5 runs projected here. Jared Weaver, I repeat, Jared Weaver, this soft throwing righty for the Padres going up against Jaime Garcia, the lefty for the Braves. So ding, ding, ding. Go ahead and take your Braves lefties, man. Freddie Freeman looking at you, brother. Freddie Freeman looking at you. Brewers-Cubs here, first game of this series at Wrigley, 52 degrees in Chicago tonight, so a nice situation for pitchers. The wind is currently blowing in at Wrigley, but that could literally change any second. Obviously don't trust that wind at Wrigley, but when it's blowing in, it's definitely better than when it's blowing out like it was this weekend. And we've got Chase Anderson for the Brewers. Versus John Lackey of the Cubs. And, you know, can't believe that Lackey's still in the league, but obviously he is still playing well. Two quality starts in his last two innings or outings, six innings in both of them. So don't mind Lackey at all for cash games tonight, even though Eric Thames, the lefty for the Brewers, is absolutely on fire right now. Just absolutely on fire. Home run after home run after home run. Something to think about. This game should be interesting. No line out just yet. I think they're probably waiting to see who's starting and who's sitting for the Cubbies. Then we've got the Angels going down to Houston in this one. 8.5 run over under. We've got Jesse Chavez, and this, by the way, dome is closed in Minute Maid, so no weather to consider here. Chavez, the fifth starter in the Angels rotation, facing a Houston offense that is absolutely lighting it up right now. Jose Altuve went 5-for-5 on back-to-back games. He's 10-for-10 in the last 10. He's batting 1,000. Jose Altuve is batting 1,000 in the last two games. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how else to say it. How else do I say it? 10-for-10. These aren't fucking free throws. Wow. So Altuve for sure in play in this one. And Charlie Morton on the mound for the Astros. So, the lefties, Cole Calhoun, Mike Trout, always very interesting. Cole Calhoun can't really get it going lately, but he is a nice cheap lefty in this Angels lineup, which should be a pretty offensive game. Cleveland at Minnesota, 8.5 runs projected here. Cold night in Minnesota, low 50s, wind blowing in here at Target Field. Salazar versus Gibson, like Salazar in this spot. The Twins just aren't really hitting for power, and Salazar has a nice K upside. Texas going out to Oakland. Oakland, not a nice night in Oakland. This is definitely some rain possibility here. 62 degrees, wind blowing out of the stadium right now at 9 miles per hour. So keep an eye on the weather in this one. If we get more chance of rain, over 20%, 30%, right now it's a low 10, 15%, but that could change for sure. AJ Griffin getting going up against Jarrell Cotton here. 8 runs projected here. Definitely interested in the lefties in this one. I think it's a nice game. It'll probably come a little bit lower owned. Miami at Seattle. Dome is closed in this one. 8 runs projected. Tom Kohler for the Marlins and Ariel Miranda. Definitely interested in the Marlins righties going against Ariel Miranda in this spot. They have some killer righties and righties who have been absolutely mashing in Real Muto, Stanton, and Ozuna. So something to look at there for sure. And Vegas says we're going to get 8 runs out of this game. And then the last game of the night, D-backs going over to Dodger Stadium. Nice night out there in LA. When is it not nice? 65 degrees, 72% humidity, low to no wind, but only projected for 7 runs. Obviously, Dodger Stadium, and nice pitcher's park. And we've got Robbie Ray going up there for the Diamondbacks. He's got great K upside. And Brandon McCarthy, a pretty boring but pretty safe pitcher on the Dodgers side of the ball, especially when you have a lineup in the Diamondbacks that probably threatens lefties more than it threatens Righty. So that is it for us tonight. That's what we're looking at tonight, guys. Those are the games that we have. You know, some really nice targets, no real outliers. You know, the Red Sox Rays game was a 10 run total there. No outliers though on this late slate. And some, you know, decent pitching options and some great bats, some really nice high upside bats tonight. So we're gonna jump into the player breakdown and I'll explain it as we go. I have my man, my co-host, my co-pilot, my comrade and compadre, Josh Fernandez, along for the player breakdown. So let's jump in and figure out which players we love tonight. Who do you love? All right, let's jump into the player breakdown here. And I am not only thrilled to go through our first MLB player breakdown, but I'm also very excited to have my man Josh Fern along for the ride. He's got Easter Monday off here, so he jumped on the pod with me. Fern, how are you, sir?
I am outstanding, Sean. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a exciting moment here that we are having our first MLB pod together. So I'm really excited, man.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And, you know, we're going to walk you guys through pitchers. We're going to walk you guys through bats, particularly stacks, give you a couple one-offs on the slate to target. But every day we'll start with the pitcher breakdown. And the way we're going to do this, Josh, is we're going to start at the top with like a guy that we assume will be kind of a chalky stud type profile pitcher that, you know, a high percentage of cash game fields will be targeting, you know, because of the situation, because of the upside, because of, you know, just the quality of the player. And then we'll jump into kind of some maybe lower price pivots off of that player who have, you know, a decent situation for themselves. And then we'll give you guys one dart throw, high risk, high reward type player that, you know, if you're really thinking about stacking up some bats that maybe you want to get one of those cheaper arms in your lineup. You know, and on FanDuel, we realize it's only a one pitcher format. On DK, you know, you may want to mix and match, but on FanDuel, you know, you have the one pitcher format. So, you know, you have to consider your pitcher based on your contest type. And Fern, traditionally, what do you look for in an arm when you're creating your rosters?
When I'm like looking for which pitcher I want to use, I mean, definitely it's relative to the slate that I'm playing. You know, if I'm playing a large, like a typical slate now that we're into the season, the first couple weeks, there's a bunch of weird slates with day games a lot. But once you start getting into those typical 7:05 weeknight starts, I'm looking really for two things in particular. I'm looking for K upside, and I'm looking for the pitcher's ability to go into, you know, the sixth, seventh, hopefully eighth inning. And that you can determine by, you know, their command. Do they have a low walk rate? Are they efficient with their pitches? And as far as Ks go, do they generate a lot of swinging strikes? You know, does the pitcher get the strikeout, like, by his stuff, you know, and less by, you know, painting the corners and manufacturing a strikeout, you know, by having a prolonged at bat, I guess, and you get to those 3-2 counts and the pitcher locates, you know, like a breaking ball low and away and gets the strikeout or whatever, but he's just taken 10 pitches to put that guy away. So that's really what I look for in my pitchers is K percentage and can the pitcher go deep into games. I know a lot of people like to look at the Vegas lines and see, you know, how much the pitcher is, you know, how much the, I guess, the spread is and the run implied run total and what the likelihood is of him getting the win and everything. I don't like to chase wins, especially now with the quality start statistic, because I get that 4-point bonus for my pitcher pitching a good quality start, which is, if you don't know, six innings pitch and three or less runs surrendered. So I don't really like to chase wins. The win's going to come if the pitcher pitches a good game, you know, and his bats are giving him some run support, the win is going to come. I chase efficiency, deep pitching into the game, and strikeouts.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that that's smart. You know, I don't mind looking for the quality start or the W, but I think you're absolutely right. If you've got a pitcher who can go deep into a game efficiently and get strikeouts, then you're going to get a quality start or you're going to get a win. So,
yeah, I mean, like the perfect example of chasing a win that kind of bit me in the butt a little bit, like a little less than a week ago, was when the Dodgers and Cubs faced off and I chased Brett Anderson. And Brett Anderson had a fine real life outing, but he only went five innings because he is a nibbler and he was, you know, he pitches around the batters and tries to induce ground balls and he wound up giving up no runs, but he didn't get the quality start because he only went five innings and he only got two strikeouts, which is, you know, par for the course. So, you know, on paper, it looks nice. Oh, you know, five innings, no earned runs. But you know, when you don't get those strikeouts and you don't get the extra 6 points for the pitcher getting into the seventh inning versus the fifth inning, it can hurt you. So, yeah. You know, that's just kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah, that's a good call. You know, there's a difference between good fantasy pitching and good real life pitching. Yeah. All right, let's jump in here. At the top of the slate, the highest price option that we have today on the main slate second highest price, excuse me. We'll talk about both the highest price guys here, but the second highest price is John Lackey. He is 9-6. He's at home with the Cubbies, and he's got the Brewers. And, you know, the Brewers right now, Josh, pretty freaking hot. I mean, Eric Thames is just unbelievable of late. Just back-to-back-to-back home runs. You know, and John Lackey is an old right-hander. That makes me a little bit worried, but there's a lot going in his favor right now. And the primary thing is the Brewers are striking out at a massive rate to righties. 25% whiff rate against the righties right now, and only 8.4% walk rate. Lackey has, you know, he is not a K pitcher, but he's gone six innings in both of his last two starts this season. He's gotten the quality start. You know, he's at home. He's favored. I just think that you can rely on a decent outing from Lackey here. You know, five to seven Ks, perhaps you're looking at. And the Cubbies are getting Kyle Anderson, the bottom of the Milwaukee rotation, if I remember. You know, and I think that you get Lackey pitching at home with a lead. I like that a lot. You know, that's that quality start upside. You get six innings there. You know, we take the quality start, we take the five Ks and a possible W here. If the Cubs bats are working, which they've kind of been hit or miss lately. But I think that Lackey feels like a pretty safe cash game play for me tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, the Brewers have been super hot lately, and they're bound to hit a wall at some point and facing a really savvy veteran pitcher who, you know, knows his way around a pitching mound. It's definitely a recipe for success, I think. So that's a good call. For me, I like Danny Salazar. Speaking of chasing Ks, Danny Salazar, the Indians are visiting Minnesota. He's at 9,800. Minnesota is a nice pitcher's park. So right off the bat, like I like the fact that he's in a nice pitcher's park. So that kind of is appealing to me. So far this year, he's proving he's the same pitcher he was last year in his breakout campaign. 20 Ks through just two starts. So that's two checks for Danny Salazar. As I mentioned, he's facing the Twins, takes him on a target field. The cool temperatures are also a nice check there. Pitchers tend to perform better in cooler temps. So the forecast is looking like it should be in the low 50s. So I think the game is set up to be another solid outing from Salazar. I have no reservations for using him in any format. I don't see it very likely that he comes out of this without, you know, like 7 or 8, 9 Ks. I just think that he is, you know, one of these years, whether it's this year, next year, the year after, I mean, he's going to be in the top 5 in strikeouts if he can maximize his innings pitched. He's just got that amazing strikeout stuff. The problem with him, however, is he does have a propensity to allow base runners via the walk. We're not really sure yet who the home plate umpire will be in this one. And we'll go down that road a little later at another time, but you can look up who the home plate umpire is for a given game and see how that umpire affects the performance of the hitters and pitchers historically quite easily, actually. So Sean and I will share that with you at a later time. Not today. Not today, Grasshopper. But but look, as long as he's locating his changeup, which he throws 40% of the time, that's his strikeout pitch, his changeup. It's a nasty changeup, one of the best in the league. As long as that is, you know, located and his secondary pitches are biting, you know, his cutter and his slider, he should have a good outing. He should have a really good outing, and he's got upside. You know, he's got complete game upside if he can be efficient. Most likely we're looking at, you know, six or seven innings, you know, 7 to 10 Ks. And we just got to hope that the Indians can get to Kyle Gibson and give him the win. And I don't see any problem with that because Kyle Gibson's not a very good starting pitcher.
Yeah, and not to mention Minnesota, while they've been, their offense has been pretty efficient lately, they're really not hitting for power. Especially against righties, 146 ISO with only slugging 390 right now, this season against righties. So, you know, you don't worry too much about him giving up too many bombs and having to, you know, give up a multiple run type situation with, you know, guys on base. I think I like Salazar here as well.
Yeah. All right. The Twins are definitely a team you want to sneakily use because not a lot of people like to use them against left-handed pitching for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and anytime you can get Brian Dozier on base in a plus situation, I think you can stack up the top of the Twins, but, Let's pivot down, you know, some other viable pitchers out here. And Josh, we have both sides of this. You and I both decently like the both sides of the mound here in the Dodgers Diamondbacks game out in L.A. You know, I don't mind Brandon McCarthy at 7K. And it's almost really it's just a price thing. I think you're getting a good starter. A good, decent starter who's not going to blow up on you for a pretty solid price. And I think that if you're looking to have a pitcher who is going to allow you to, you know, have a decent floor, not a lot of upside in McCarthy, but a decent floor, and then you really want to stack up some bats tonight, then I think McCarthy is a decent target here. He's got Arizona at home. I mean... The only real bat in the Arizona lineup that scares me against McCarthy is Jake Lamb, and I think we always have good reason to be scared of Jake Lamb. He can mash, but I think that there's not a lot of other real threats that McCarthy is going to face. You know, he is the lefty bats in Arizona aren't really all that great. Now, if they roll out a lefty heavy lineup, I might think twice about it. But he's only allowing batters to hit 202 against him right now, which did include a start against the Cubs, which, you know, we know their offense is pretty high powered. And Arizona is only hitting 284. They got a 284 wOBA against righties. You know, Vegas is telling us, you know, and I think that Vegas sometimes is a good indicator, definitely a good indicator, just kind of what we should expect from the offenses. Vegas is telling us that this is going to be one of the lowest scoring games on the slate. So, you know, I don't think we're going to get a lot of Ks from McCarthy. He's not going to wow you, but I think you're going to get a decent start. And if you get 6 innings out of him, which he did last time he was out there, then I think McCarthy is a pretty solid investment, and at 7K, you know, you're not going to kill yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I Brandon McCarthy, I'd be more than happy to have him on my team, my real life team, the Baltimore Orioles. That's my team, baby. So you guys know I'm an O's fan. But I would love to have him as a mid rotation, solid veteran play. And, you know, when you play your matchups right, especially when McCarthy gets to pitch at home, there's no reason not to consider him. So that's a good call. And before we move into my pitcher, I just want to say you mentioned how this has the lowest total of the slate with the Vegas lines. Just so you guys know, and we love free resources here at Lineup Logic. Because there is so much free stuff online, there's no reason why you need to go out and pay good money for it. But the best Vegas odds page is from Fantasy Labs, which, yes, they charge for their premium content. But you can get this for free if you just go to fantasylabs.com/MLB/Vegas. So whenever you hear us trotting out Vegas lines, there's a million places to look. But I think personally this is the best one because they show you so much, one of which is line movement. So you can see how the line moves throughout the day, and it can give you some clues as to what the sharps are thinking is going to go down. So just keep that in mind. I'll, you know, remind you guys from time to time, but definitely check out Fantasy Labs Vegas Lines product, which is free. But my choice here for a pivot pitcher is Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray is, as Sean mentioned, taking on the Dodgers on the other side of Brandon McCarthy. He's $1,000 more on FD. He's 8K. Ray is, without a doubt, among the elites in striking out batters. I don't think very many casual fans, especially East Coast fans, even know who he is. But he is a stud when it comes to striking out batters. In fact, among starters who logged at least 180 innings pitched since the start of 2016, Ray's only behind Max Scherzer and Noah Syndergaard in K rate and 11th in swinging strike rate. So the bottom line is he can punch out batters. The problem is he pitches at Chase Field, which is a hitter's park. The thing is he gets to face the Dodgers in L.A., and Dodger Stadium is indeed a pitcher's park if I've ever seen one. It is an outstanding pitcher's park, and you gotta love you know, your choice drawing a match in a pitcher's park such as that. The Dodgers, they're not particularly great against left-handed pitching. Logan Forsythe is their standout there. But otherwise, no one really screams out as a threat. And I mentioned umpires before. Laz Diaz is umping this game. And he is definitely a concern behind the dish. He's known as a hitter's umpire. You know, he's got that that tight strike zone, and he'll squeeze starters, you know, from time to time. But with Ray's ability to get hitters to swing and miss, that's key. That could negate Diaz's impact and lead to a really nice outing for him. So I want to stress that, you know, when you're looking at your starting pitchers, when you're looking at your pitchers and you see that they strike out a lot of batters, go ahead and just confirm, is that high strikeout rate because of the ability to get guys to swing and miss or not? And if it is, then that's a really nice plus that can, you know, give you some extra assurance that this is a legitimately talented pitcher who can put guys away through his swing and miss stuff. And that's definitely Robbie Ray. So I feel really nice about him tonight.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, you made a really good point. And if Ray is pitching half of his games at Chase Field and we have him on the road, then he gets a massive bump, you know, just from that alone. Chase Field, one of the better hitters parks in the country. So, you know, you really like Ray here in this situation on the road at L.A. And, you know, L.A.'s offense has been hot, but, you know, I don't necessarily – that doesn't necessarily concern me. I think they're taking a lot of cuts, too. So, you know, that strikeout upside is there, like you said. All right, now we're going to go down kind of into the value bargain bin here. Guys who, you know, probably will come with low ownership, but they'll probably come with a lot of risk. For me, this guy is Jaime Garcia. He's pitching for the Braves against the Padres tonight. And this is just matchup for me. Garcia, you know, at home against the Padres, you know, I think it makes me a little bit nervous, but he's going up against a Padres lineup that against left-handed pitching is 28th in the league right now. Their offense is 28th in the league against lefties. You know, they are batting 183 against left-handed pitching with a WRC plus of 55. And if you guys, by the way, WRC plus is like a cumulative offense advanced metric that talks about how it basically is like the value of their offense. You can find it via FanGraphs. It's a really good way to evaluate how well an offense is doing. You know, I think I don't love Garcia, but I do love the strikeout rate that the Padres offer, over 20% to lefties. You know, they're going to swing a lot. You know, and his bats have a great matchup against, and we'll talk about the Braves bats in a little bit, but against Jared Weaver. You love the run support and you love Garcia's ability to maybe get a couple extra Ks beyond his normal average. And, you know, you're not killing yourself at the price tag. Garcia at 7K isn't going to kill you.
Yeah, definitely. I Garcia, as long as he's healthy, he's got a lot of upside, and that's his number one ding is, you know, he's bound for the DL at some point this year. So hopefully it's not anytime soon for the sake of anyone that rosters him tonight and for the Braves. But my choice here is a dart throw. And I think it's a little bit more than a dart throw. But I guess a lot of people aren't hip to him yet. It's Jarrell Cotton of the Oakland A's taking on the Texas Rangers. Little spooky there, but he's at 7K. And I just got to say that Jarrell Cotton, he went to my alma mater, East Carolina University. So we are both Pirates. And I'm not saying that he is a choice here because of that bias. I actually discovered that like this morning. So I didn't know that he went to ECU. Look, I graduated a long time ago, okay, so I don't really keep up with the college sports as much these days, especially not college baseball, but kind of cool little stat there. That's
there
not
you
a
go.
Stat, a little factoid. But he's definitely a high-risk, high-reward start. If you look at his repertoire, he doesn't profile as a top prospect, doesn't have great size, he's not even 6 feet tall. Doesn't have a blazing fastball, throws, you know, in the low 90s, 92, 93. He doesn't really profile as anything outstanding. Probably the reason why not many of us know who he is. But what distinguishes him from everybody else is that he has a very advanced changeup. I read on FanGraphs that his velocity separation and movement on his changeup is, you know, extremely advanced for a pitcher at his point in his career. If any starter can locate his fastball and features that strong changeup, I mean, he really doesn't need any other pitches. You can just go fastball, changeup, and make a good career for yourself. If he can offer a solid third pitch as well, I mean, the possibilities are endless. You know, nobody's saying that he's going to be, you know, the next, like, Pedro Martinez as far as undersized right-handed pitchers. But, you know, a fastball changeup, just changing speeds and changing planes of where the ball crosses the plate, you know, that really keeps hitters off balance. And Cotton has that ability to do that. So about tonight, he's taking on Texas. Now, granted, Texas is a dangerous team. However, the game is in Oakland, and you know, Oakland does offer you a nice park factor for pitchers. So there's that. The Rangers, they don't really feature any bats that are elite based on WOBA and ISO versus right-handed pitching over the past year. They do better against left-handed pitching. That said, they do have a few guys who are pretty good against right-handed pitching. Rougned Odor, Nomar Mazara, Sinshu Chu, John Lucroy. Definitely a risky proposition. But the fact is, if Cotton's locating his pitches, limiting the quality contact, he can go six or seven innings, may not get you a ton of Ks, maybe four, five, six Ks. But he can get you a quality start for a minimal price. And the Vegas odds are saying that the Sharps are liking the A's tonight. Texas is just implied for four runs. I anticipate that might drop a little bit before long. So in GPPs, I think Cotton is a fine choice. And, you know, you just cross your fingers and hope that, you know, this comes to fruition and he can bump up his Ks to, you know, five or six. And who knows, you know, maybe he can get you 40 plus points.
Yeah, I also really like the A's bats here in this spot. They have a lot of lefties that can, or excuse me, they have a lot of guys who can really mash right-handed pitching. So, you know, I don't think this is a bad spot to target Jarrell in GPPs. And he's, you know, again, like you said, high risk, high reward, you know,
yep.
That's what you're getting. All right, let's go on to the batter breakdown. We're going to get into the bats here. What we'll do is we're going to give you guys some basically some team targets and some stacking ideas. You know, we'll go through two of our favorites. Oh, that was my phone. Sorry about that. We'll go through two of our favorites here in this spot. And then we'll kind of go to a pivot stack, maybe, you know, a little bit lower cost, a little bit, you know, lower owned, perhaps, who knows. And then we'll go kind of like our third, you know, maybe a little mini stack that we wouldn't mind throwing out there. And then we'll even throw some one-offs here, some guys who have high upside based on situation. So, Josh, I'll start it off. My favorite stud stack of the night, cash game viable, I think is the Astros. The Astros are back home. They have the Angels coming to town, and they are getting Jesse Chavez, who is a reliever-transformed starter, who has only taken two starts this year. A righty currently with a 4.5 ERA. He's the fifth starter in the Angels rotation, and he has not really lit the world on fire in his last two starts. In fact, he only made it through I think 1.2 innings in his last start. So for an offense like the Astros, this seems like a pretty nice situation. They are mashing right-handers right now. A team WOBA of 349, WRC plus of 130 against right-handed pitching. And the top of the order is just loaded. I mean, you've got Reddick, and my immediate instinct was JJ Reddick. I was like, we're starting JJ Reddick.
You're getting the mind off of basketball. It's going to come.
I'm working on it. Not JJ Reddick, but Josh Reddick. Josh Reddick, the lefty, probably projected right now to be batting in the two hole. And I think you can probably easily stack 2-3-4, and if you want to go with Springer, even go 1-2-3-4, I think you can easily do that. But Reddick is a lefty in the top of the order that's really pretty cheap. He's only 2.6K in the outfield there. He's got a 360 WOBA against righties. And then, of course, Altuve. Why wouldn't you want it? I mean, anytime you have a chance where you can roster Altuve, he has been unbelievably hot, you know, and against righty, he's got a 405 WOBA. He has reached, Josh, this is insane. He is 10 for 10 in his last two games. Five of five he's reached in two straight games. How insane is that?
It's unbelievable. He's just like, he's one of my favorite players. I mean, I love that he can do everything, and he's like 5'1".
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's everything. Like, there's not a weakness in this game, right? You know, he'll hit for singles, he'll take walks, he'll mash, he'll steal bases. He's a great defender. I mean, So Altuve, just that, boy, you love having Altuve in your lineup. I have him on my season-long team, and I just love him so much. So Altuve, I think you can go Reddick, Altuve, and then Correa, obviously. You know, Correa just is really nice in that cleanup spot as well. I think we'll probably get Evan Gattis, too. So he has a really nice numbers again for right-handed pitching. And if we get Gattis in there, then, you know, don't be afraid to throw him in there. He's usually probably in that six hole. So the Strohs at home against Chavez, I really like them to stay hot, you know, and do good work here against this, you know, kind of, I mean, mediocre at best starter for the Angels.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great call. I love the Strohs tonight. And you definitely want to consider also, you know, if Gattis isn't in there, Brian McCann, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to love your catchers batting, you know, in the six hole. It's hard to find catchers that bat, you know, in a meaningful spot in the lineup that aren't, you know, Victor Martinez, who I think is cooked, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gary Sanchez, who's on the shelf right now. But at any rate, yeah, that's a great call, Sean. I'm going to go with the Cubbies. They're taking on Chase Anderson of the Brewers, right-handed pitcher. Look, Chase Anderson, number one problem, gives up home runs. He gave up over 1.6 home runs per nine innings. That was nearly 42% higher than the rest of the league. His 41% fly ball rate wasn't just a career high. It ranked 15th worst in the league among pitchers throwing at least 150 innings. So you put that in your pocket, you think about it, and you couple that with the fact that the Cubs are extremely, extremely dangerous. Against right-handed pitching, you look at Woba and ISO, the Cubs have two elite bats. And when I say elite, I mean in the category of elite, there's a divider between elite and very good. And there's not very many elite bats, you know, over that 390 Woba mark and like the 240 ISO mark. You got Kyle Schwarber and Anthony Rizzo. And then you got three very good ones in Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, and Ben Zobrist. And yes, Chris Bryant is an elite bat, but especially against left-handed pitching. But against right-handed pitching, he's very good. So, I mean, this is a great matchup for them. I definitely feel comfortable saying that they should hit multiple home runs tonight. They're expensive. But that's why you dig deep and look for cheap stacks to pair them with, an expensive stack and a cheap stack. And the Cubs are definitely an expensive stack, but this is one of those nights where I think that it's worth paying up for the Cubbies. I typically enter three or four lines. You know, I'm tempted to go all in, but I'll probably do two of my four lines for Cubbies. So feeling good about the Cubs tonight, guys.
Yeah, they're kind of due too. I mean, they had a rough series against the Pirates. I mean,
yeah,
they gave up a lot of runs to the Pirates, which was kind of out of character. And the Pirates got the luck of the wind where the Cubbies didn't in a couple spots over the weekend. I was paying attention to those games. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's time that we see a couple games where the Cubs, you know, one through five batters all mash, you know, and they go for a nine-run game. And this could be it. So let's move on to another stack option, maybe a little bit cheaper, maybe a little bit lower owned, a grout stack, I guess I'll call it, for lack of a better name. We'll have to think about how to call it, what we're going to call that, Josh.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it'll come with time. We have about 150 games to go.
Yeah, I think it will. All right, so I really like the Braves tonight. The Braves have Jared Weaver at home, and of course, anytime Jared Weaver is on a slate, your radar goes off because this man does not throw the ball very hard. He gives up so many fly balls, 47% fly ball rate in general. It's almost 50% to right-handed batters, and it's above 40% to left-handed batters. He's got a Sierra of 5.38. Vegas has the Braves implied for almost 5 runs here. I think you stack 1 through 4 or any pairing of 1 through 4 in the Braves lineup very easily. And I think my favorite is obviously the pairing of the 3-4 and Freddie Freeman and Nick Markakis. You know, at the top, you'll probably get Dansby Swanson and Ender Inciarte, who do have stolen base upside with Weaver. You know, he's allowing a 0.76 stolen base percentage. But Freddie Freeman, you know, and this is going to be hard, Josh, because we're going to have to decide who we want at. Deciding who you want at first base is not going to be fun tonight. Like, I think you're going to have to diversify a little bit, because Friedman right there is just in an elite matchup. And you just talked about Rizzo, you know, but I think we have to consider Friedman in this situation. 433 WOBA, 300 ISO. I mean, that is unreal against righties. You add to that the fact that Weaver is a terrible fly ball pitcher. This is elite. This has home run, ding dong, written all over it. Markakis, obviously, also, you know, in a really good situation. 357 WOBA, and he actually has a pretty decent sample size against Jared Weaver, just because they're kind of old men and they've been in the league for a while. And hold on, let me pull this up. I think there's good BVP history here, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
And while you're pulling up that BVP, I just want to say, excuse me, that Jared Weaver, his I'm doing air quotes, his fastball, PitchFX, which is MLB's like proprietary pitch measurement thingamajig. I don't have this in front of me right now, but I read it the other day when he was starting, that it doesn't register his fastball anymore as a fastball.
Oh God.
It's like his average fastball is like 82 miles an hour.
Oh God. It's terrible. Yeah. Okay. So Markakis has 31 at bats against 31 career at bats against Weaver, which is a decent sample size, right? Yeah. It's not terrible. And he is got a 359 WOBA with a 226 ISO, 2 career home runs in those 31 at bats, 9 hits, 6 ribbies. So, you know, not terrible. But Markakis also playing pretty well right now, you know, being a consistent piece of that lineup. And at 3-2, he's a pretty well-priced outfielder for you. But Friedman is the one that I'm really, really, really in love with. And I think, you know, the other nice thing is, Josh, is compared to a lot of the other infielders that you have here, Swanson is pretty inexpensive. You get Dansby Swanson at 2-8. You know, that's not a terrible price. So I don't mind the Braves at all in this situation attacking Weaver.
Yeah. And one thing to think about is, you know, there's collateral damage, more like collateral production, collateral benefit.
Yeah.
Is that if Swanson is hitting in between Inciarte and Freeman and Markakis is right there below, like, I mean, he just needs to get on base, because with right. the rates that you are mentioning, I mean, odds are he's going to score some runs. And,
right.
Whenever you stack, you don't need like all 3 or 4 of your guys to get you 20, 30, 40 points. I mean, if one of them gets you 9 points, it's fine. I mean, mm-hmm. you're just looking for a stack to give you, if you're getting 4 guys in there, you know, 90 points or so, that would be ideal, maybe 100 points. And look, the Braves, I mean, Sean, the Braves have that upside tonight. I mean, and you're talking about Freddie Freeman's stats there. That's like mind blowing. Like a 300 ISO is ridiculous.
I don't even know if I didn't really think ISO went up to 300, but it's like, yeah. This one goes to 11 type situation with Freddie Freeman tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. That's a good call. Yeah, the Braves definitely can give you some salary relief. A little less salary relief here, but still salary relief is the Brewers. Now, I know, you know, we like John Lackey tonight, but sometimes you look, a great strategy that I read about is if, and you should, enter multiple lineups per night. Just because of the supreme variance in baseball, you should definitely enter a couple lineups a night. If you are going Lackey in a couple, which I think many of us will, one of your lineups should not have Lackey and should then include the Brewers stack. Just in case the chalk blows up, you can benefit from that in at least one of your lines. And so that's my line of thinking every night. And so tonight, with Lackey likely being the chalk, you're going to want to think about the Brewers. And, you know, it's a super small sample size. I mean, like almost unusably small for both Eric Thames and Manny Pena. But they're both killing right-handed pitching. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. Thames is just like, he's the hottest player in the league right now. Just hitting a home run every time out. They both boast elite rates in various metrics. But you got to think Thames is going to cool down soon. But again, like, baseball is a sport of, is a mental sport. I mean, every sport's a mental sport, but when you're locked in baseball, I mean, as a DFS player, you want to ride that player. And Thames is a guy that you just got to ride it out. And until he goes like 0 for a couple days in a row, then you can kind of get off and move to somewhere else. Right now he's locked in. And Pena, you know, underpriced, unknown catcher, but he's getting slotted into the six hole often. And that is an elite lineup spot for a catcher, because you can still get like decent value from the six hole just because he's so close to the middle of the order. And in the National League, him getting into that six spot is even more valuable, because once you get a guy in that eight hole in the National League, that's like a value killer, because he's hitting right ahead of the pitcher. And so he gets pitched around a lot just to get to that pitcher. But look, if Pena's in that six hole, Thames is in the two, Braun's in the three, and then you got Domingo Santana in the Travis Shaw in the four and Santana in the five. I like a 2-3-4-6 or 2-4-5-6 stack with Thames, Braun, Shaw, Pena, or Thames, Shaw, Santana, Pena, depending on the salary situation. Just circling back to what I said at the beginning of this little segment here, it should be a really under-owned stack, because many people should be in on Lackey,
right?
And very few people will want to roster Brewers with their starting pitcher that they're using. So definitely consider making this a nightly habit of going ahead and using your stack, your chalk pitcher, but then stacking the team going, as long as the team that's going against him makes sense. Like, don't feel like you have to use a stack of hitters going against Clayton Kershaw, you know. But if it's like a chalky, like solid pitcher, just solid, not elite, go ahead and make one of those lines a stack with his opponent. And for tonight against the chalk, that's the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, it's that little hedge stack strategy matters. I mean, that's a really, really smart thing to consider. I like that call a lot, Josh. You know, I think there's one stack before we go on to kind of the GPP viable stacks here that we like, that, you know, our final pivot stacks here. I think we have to think a little bit. I would be a fool if we didn't mention the Indians tonight. I feel like the Indians are going to be pretty chalky, but with good reason. You know, I mean, you've got a high powered offense against a you know, kind of mediocre pitcher in Kyle Gibson, and, you know, the top of that order in a visiting situation should be, you know, you're going to see Lindor and Brantley possibly get five PAs each. I mean, that is really, really juicy. So before we go into our final stack, I think the Indians are also in play as kind of a chalky high, you know, a little bit more expensive stack, but you could definitely get yourself some Lindor, some Brantley, you know, and then even on all the way down into that six hole with Lonnie Chisenhall, who mashes right-handed pitching and came back strong into the lineup last week. So something to think about there as well, Josh, before we...
Yeah, for sure.
All right, last two stacks here, offenses we want to target. The pivot stacks, you know, high upside potential here. For me, it's the Marlins. The Marlins are going to be in that last game of the night. They are away in Seattle, which I don't love, you know. But the thing is you have to remember, the ballpark in Miami is probably pretty comparable as far as, you know, not being a hitter's park, just like Seattle. You know, you obviously have the weather upside in Miami, but it's not a hitter's park down there. It's definitely more of a pitcher's park, as is Seattle. So I'm not scared off of that, because I think that when we look at the numbers for, you know, the Marlins against a left-handed pitcher like Ariel Miranda, Miranda has a 4.7 ERA right now, 50% plus fly ball rate, allowing a 3.23 wOBA currently to opponents. I mean, it's simple. With a fly ball pitcher like this, give me Real Muto, give me Stanton, give me Ozuna. It's not hard. You know, Stanton is just unbelievable right now against lefties. Historically, though, he's getting a 3.30 ISO. 3.30 ISO with a 4.26 against lefties, Josh. I mean, we talked about Friedman being out of this world, but Stanton right now is just ridiculous. And the Marlins are hot, too. They've been hitting the ball really, really well. This season against lefties, Stanton currently has a 5.88 wOBA with an ISO 6.67. Now, I realize we've only been playing baseball for 2 weeks, but he is destroying left-handed pitching. And obviously, Real Muto solves your cheap catcher problem, and he's batting high in the lineup, in a visiting lineup. I think you get a couple extra PAs for Real Muto. And Ozuna just absolutely on fire of late. He has five home runs in on the season, and has been consistently mashing, and his numbers are very good, above batting average above 300 this year with power upside. So I really like this Marlins stack. I think it goes under-owned and overlooked because they're on the road and you have a lot of other high-powered offenses, but there's huge home run upside against a fly ball pitcher like Miranda. You know, and Josh, as always, when you're trying to solve your catcher problem, JT Real Muto is a really easy solution.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I Real Muto is, he's a special place in my heart because I picked him up off waivers last year in my main season long league. And he is just, he's a beast. I mean, he's such a good offensive player. I feel like he's not long for getting out of the catcher position at some point here, because he should be in the lineup every single day. I mean, he could steal bases. He's got some decent power. He can hit for average. I mean, he's a hell of a player.
Get him in the AL, man. Just get him in the AL.
Well, you know, Sean, I'll tell you, it's possible he could DH tonight because the Marlins have AJ Ellis, who, though he's not like a huge bat, I mean, he's a competent hitter. So it's possible that Ellis could catch and Real Muto could DH. Now, unfortunately, you can't roster both of them. You know, it's just something to consider. But they maybe that keeps JT's legs fresher.
Yeah, I mean, and I think they could easily, which would be really nice, the way that this core, this lineup is hitting, they could go 3-4-5 with Real Muto, Stanton, and Ozuna, and that would just be so juicy.
Yeah, and then look as a sneaky, sleepy play at the sixth spot. I'm just anticipating Tyler Moore batting sixth, and he's a former Washington National, and I watched a lot of Tyler Moore. For those of you that don't know, I live here in Maryland, so I catch Nats games as well as the O's. And Tyler Moore's got some serious power. So against a subpar lefty in Miranda, you know, he could be a sneaky play at Min Sal. He's only 2000 and he's first base eligible. So, you know, there's a ton of great first basemen on the slate, so it might be hard to get him in there, but maybe on DK, I don't know, it's possible. Just something to consider. But yeah, I definitely like those Marlins tonight. And Stanton, man, he's a grown ass man. He is a grown ass man.
Yes, he is. Yes, yeah. He is. That's a great way to put it.
Well, speaking of hedging against chalk, and I didn't do this intentionally, Sean, to pick on you. So you did a good job of identifying who should be chalky plays. And yeah. I agree with you. Brandon McCarthy should be chalky. So I figure stacking against him, if you are on Brandon McCarthy tonight in one of your lines, stacking against him would be a positive thing for you to do.
Yeah.
And he is facing the Arizona Diamondbacks. And, you know, he's a decent pitcher at this point in his career. He's 33 years old. He's gone through a lot of injuries, and his once really promising career was derailed by some unfortunate injuries. You know, I mentioned earlier, I'd love to have him in my team's rotation. But his 4.95 2016 ERA, backed by his 4.50 xFIP and 4.76 Sierra, tell us he's not that great. Now, here's the thing, okay? He was banged up last year, so he could have been pitching through injuries. He did have some nice campaigns in the previous years before that. But I'm just going to go with the numbers here and say that, you know, he might be running out of gas as he's entering his mid-30s. So the Diamondbacks post you mentioned it before. I mean, their lineup is dangerous, but I think they're more dangerous against left-handed pitching because Goldie is just, I mean, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think he might be like top three against left-handed pitching in baseball as far as like WOBA and ISO go. I mean, he just destroys left-handed pitching. And when Goldie is, you know, destroying, then the rest of the team benefits. But he's not that bad against right-handed pitching. I mean, he's well above average against right-handed pitching. And your boy Jake Lamb loves right-handed pitching too. Yep. As does Jeremy Hazelbaker, whatever the hell it is. So I think the D-backs could be dangerous tonight. The problem is, you know, at Dodger Stadium, I mean, the ball doesn't just like get out of there like it does in Chase Field. So I got to dig deeper into the numbers, but it's possible that some of these metrics could be skewed by the fact that a lot of this production for these batters was at Chase Field. Maybe I want to narrow it down to just like away numbers. I'll look into that. But that said, you know, I anticipate a really nice night out for the Snakes. Stacking them up, Goldie, Peralta, Lamb. You know, you get Pollock in there, Hazelbaker, depending on your salary constraints. I think it could be a good one. If I'm hedging, I'd rather hedge with Milwaukee. But that obviously is contingent on me using Lackey as my primary pitcher. If I'm going McCarthy as my primary pitcher, you know, just the lineup, throw him out there. The Diamondbacks, so, if we're all betting light and we're betting smart relative to our bankroll, you know, you can afford to just throw one line out there just to protect yourself in case your starter blows up.
Yeah. And I think for me, I don't mind like a quick little, if you want exposure to that, doing like a little, Jake Lamb and Peralta pairing. Like, I think that's a nice little, two pair there. Yeah. in that last game of the night. And those guys have real nice upside against lefties. And, you know, I mean, Jake Lamb is elite, and you know, you always love having exposure to him, especially, you know, in the last game of the night. you know, in those West Coast games always go under-owned, to be completely honest with you. They do, especially, you know, you've got a Cubs-Brewers game here. I think that you've got Cubs on this slate and you've got Indians on this slate. Those are going to be high ownership teams. And Rangers, too. I think the Rangers will probably carry some ownership as well, as they should. They're in a good spot. Not a great spot, you know. Jarrell Cotton, obviously, Eastern Carolina's elite pitcher.
Damn right.
All right, this is the lone wolf section here, Josh. One-offs that we like to target, a couple quick one-offs that we really, really love, home run upside, guys that you would feel comfortable saying, you know what, if I have one guy here that I, you know, one spot where I'm trying to fill out my outfield or whatever the case may be, I'm good with just nabbing this guy because he alone is in a good situation. The first is Marcell Ozuna. I just love Ozuna. I think that he's probably going to get low ownership here, and he's unbelievably hot right now. 5 home runs this year already, plus matchup with Miranda. You know, fly ball pitcher here. I think Ozuna has home run upside in this one for sure. And a decent price. He's still under 4K, given his production. That's pretty reasonable. Freddie Freeman. I've been saying Friedman, sorry. Freeman. Obviously, we talked about the massive numbers against a guy like Jared Weaver, just mashing. They get great weather in Atlanta, too. It's going to be nice and warm, no rain, no wind. And we're still trying to learn what that park is going to play like. But I think people, you know, are definitely excited. Freeman, by the way, hits a 79% fly ball rate.
Jeez.
Like, if we don't have Freddie Freeman tonight, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing research? And then the last guy is my boy Chris with the K, Davis. I love him against the Rangers here. He's another guy with a 300 ISO, Josh, against right-handed pitching, coming off back-to-back home run outings. 2 home runs in his last – he went 3-for-3 last night. He had 2 home runs, back-to-back homers in his last 2 games. So in Kansas City, not – I believe, right? They weren't the A's in Kansas City? Yeah. Uh-huh. Not a hitter's park at all, you know, and so, I mean, you're not worried about him going back home necessarily where, you know, the Athletics, it's not a hitter's park either in Oakland and the weather isn't great. But I think Davis in a good situation here against a righty, he just destroys. And actually getting cheap, if you want some salary relief, the A's are in a good spot to get some salary relief. Jed Lowry, for example, only, I think, 2,300 on FanDuel. So definitely a good spot to target there in the infield.
Yeah, I love the fact that Jed Lowry is super cheap middle infielder and bats in the middle of the order. And Steven Vogt is catcher-eligible, primarily DHs, and also bats in the middle of the order. So the A's, you should always have the A's in your back pocket as a team to include with your stacks, because a lot of stacks tend to be corner outfielders and or corner infielders and a couple outfielders, and you know, then you got to fill in the blanks with those middle infielders and like a cheap outfielder. So Jed Lowry and a catcher. Jed Lowry, Vogt, Chris Davis are like a nice trio that bat in the middle of the A's lineup. And on certain nights, they're an elite stack, and they're just really nice complement. And just one comment on Davis and Ozuna and Freeman and Giancarlo, not Giancarlo. I'm thinking of Giannis. I got to get out of basketball mode.
Yeah, I know. He's in action. Not until Tuesday. They're not in. That's weird.
Yeah, I know. But those guys have crazy exit velocity of their hits. And that's something that you definitely want to look at is exit velocity and average distance traveled. And you can find all that stuff on FanGraphs. It's just you got to become familiarized with FanGraphs if you're not. Everything's free. You know, you could donate some money per year. I donate $20 a year just because I love that website. But yeah, exit velocity, average distance traveled, that can really tell you if a guy is really hitting the crap out of the ball or they're just sneaking over the fence, you know, barely getting out. And those guys you mentioned, Sean, they hit the ball like they're playing Friday night softball down at the rec, you know, at the rec fields.
Dude, Chris Davis, I so a great follow on Twitter, guys, is a it's a home run tracker. Hold on, let me make sure I get the handle exactly right.
Oh, from Roto Grinders?
No, there's a better one. There's one that uses all the MLB. Hold on 1 second. I think it's called, by the way, oh yeah, it's just called, oh, it's at Dinger Tracker. At Dinger Tracker. It's one of my favorite home run trackers because not only do they give you, you know, the home run, they'll give you the inning, they'll give you the pitch count. They'll also give you the exit velocity and the pitch profile and the distance that they hit the ball. So, you know, for example, let's look at, let me look at the Chris Davis home run from last night. I think I can pull it up here.
This is pretty sweet, man.
Are you looking at it?
Cause I follow the Roto Grinders home run tracker and I have it push notify my phone. So every time a home run is hit, it notifies me and I get sad faced because I forget to roster some of these guys. Roto Grinders home run tracker.
All right. I can't find it. I know the Roto Grinders one and I can't find the one for Chris Davis, but you know, for example, looking at last night, let's see, let me give you a good one. Bryce Harper. Okay. Bryce Harper hits a 96.9 mile per hour two seam fastball off of Joaquin Benoit, 424 feet.
Yeah, I watched that live, actually.
Straight to center field, exit velocity of 109 miles per hour.
Yeah. Woo! Oh, that at bat was crazy. He took two huge cuts, like his helmet. I love Bryce. Every time he swings, his helmet like almost falls off his head. Because he's got some crazy hipster haircut under there. And his helmet almost fell off, got to an 0-2 count, battled Dak, and got to a full 3-2 count, and just freaking unloaded on it. Oh, and Benoit just walked off the mound and went straight into the clubhouse. It was sad. Benoit is an old man. He's like been around for, I want to say, almost 20 years. And yeah, he knew right off the bat.
He was an Oriole for a while, wasn't he, Josh?
Who, Benoit?
Yeah, wasn't he?
I don't think so. He might have been.
God.
I don't know. Every time I hear Benoit, I think of the wrestler Chris Benoit.
Oh, yeah.
He's a bad guy. Poor guy. Oh, yeah. He got hit in the head and, yeah, wasn't good. Anyways, enough about Chris Benoit. Let's get to my one-offs. This one, I know this one's a little off the wall here, so you guys might be like, what are you thinking, Josh? But Mike Trout. I know. Just hear me out. Yeah, I know. No, but Mike Trout, you know, he's the best player in the universe, and he's bound to break out with a massive game soon. He hasn't had that massive game yet this season. But, you know, we're over... You know, 10 games now. I think this is what, the fourth or fifth series that the teams are in now, whatever it is. I mean, he's due to break out with a big multi home run game with like 3, 4, 5 ribbies, a steal, you know, 3, 4 hits. I mean, he's due. It's Mike Trout, for goodness sake. I mean, you know, his numbers against right handed pitching are just ridiculous. And he's getting Charlie Morton, who's not a stud. I mean, Charlie Morton is a really good ground ball pitcher, but Trout, I mean, it's Mike Trout. Come on. Like, if you can fit him in, I know it's tough to fit Trout in sometimes on large slates, but if you can fit him in, you know, I mean, I don't think his ownership is going to be that high, you know, so keep Mike Trout in mind just to differentiate yourself a bit and have that mega upside. That 50, 60 point upside.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then the next guy is Hunter Renfroe of the Padres. He's got a super small sample size, but he's just killing left-handed pitching. Jaime Garcia is a good pitcher, but he's not a stud pitcher. And Renfroe has just, like, tremendous power. I mean, I was following him in the minor leagues because I had him on my NA spot on Yahoo, my Dynasty League, just waiting for him to get called up. And the Padres were taking freaking forever to call him up, him and Manuel Margot. And they finally called him up, and, man, he profiles as like a 30-35 home run bat. So I like Renfroe as a one-off tonight. And then Matt Holliday should go extremely under-owned. I kind of think the Yankees are like super duper sneaky today.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, because they're taking on, I'm just looking real quick, who their opponent, Derek Holland. I mean, Derek Holland once upon a time was a top prospect, but, you know, he's on the wrong side of 30 now. And, you know, he's just like a lefty. I don't want to say he's a soft tosser. I don't know what his average
he's a ground ball pitcher. He had a really nice game against the Indians last time out, but, you know, he only had like two or three strikeouts, and he just basically just pecked them to death with ground balls. And got him to base.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Matt Holliday can kill left-handed pitching still. You know, that's something to do with a lot of aging former superstars, is that they can still definitely handle the opposite-handedness pitcher. And this is a situation where Matt Holliday one-off might not. And he's hitting in the middle of that lineup, too. So, you know, just a quick one on Holliday. Since the start of 2016, he is the 10th best WOBA and ISO against left-handed pitching among all hitters facing a left-handed starter today. So all the hitters facing left-handed starters, there's six left-handed starters today. Matt Holliday is just into the top 10 of WOBA and ISO against that handedness. So if there's a day to use a one-off Matt Holliday, this could be it against a subpar lefty in Derek Holland. So, yeah, there you go. Matt Holliday, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. The Yankees have gone really under-owned. And I think once they get kind of that rhythm with – if they get Gary Sanchez back in the line and Greg Bird kind of in the core of that lineup, I think you could have – they could be sneaky because people are just – I don't think that people are rostering them, you know?
Yeah, and then hopefully Aaron Judge can start to slowly work his way up that lineup, you know. Judge, I mean, I don't want to say hopefully because I hate the Yankees, but from a baseball fan, fantasy baseball lover standpoint, I would love to see Aaron Judge out of like the 7 and 8 hole and up to, you know, the 5 and 6 hole, which I think he will be once the Yankees inevitably start falling in the standings because they're pieces of shit and they suck and nobody likes them.
Spoken like a true fan of the AL East.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And you could just replace the words Boston Red Sox there for me, Josh.
that would be Sean, who's your MLB team?
I grew up in the Tampa Bay area, so I'm a Rays man. Nice. Yeah. 2008 was one of the best years of my life. Even though we lost the World Series to the Phillies, and no one else watched that World Series except for me. it was, yeah, man. So but now I think you transfer my dear, dear, dear affection for Joe Maddon, and having lived in Chicago, I root for the Cubbies in the NL. So AL, it's the Rays and the Cubbies, in the NL. Cause I lived in Chicago for better part of 9 years and love Joe Maddon with all of my heart. I would take a bullet for him.
Dude, Joe Maddon is like top three, maybe the top baseball guy in baseball right now.
No kidding. I mean, he's unbelievable.
He's awesome.
Just root for him. All right, Fern. So We're gonna try to build out a little lineup here as we normally do on Lineup Logic. It wouldn't be a Lineup Logic pod if we didn't build out a lineup. So let's jump over to FanDuel here and let's see. Do you want to start with bats or do you want to start with a pitcher?
Why don't we do this? Why don't we start with a chalk pitcher and build a line?
Okay.
And then insert a flyer,
you got know, it.
Like a high risk, high reward punt guy and see what we can upgrade.
Upgrade. Okay. All right. So we both really liked Salazar and Lackey here in this spot, but we also possibly have Robbie Ray. Who do you feel best about tonight, Josh?
Well, I'm looking here just at Vegas and, the Twins are, taking on Salazar 3.9 runs. The Dodgers 4.1 against the D-backs and no line yet for the Brewers and Cubbies. Why don't we go with Salazar?
All right, let's go with Salazar. All right, and you know, guys, we're not going to go position by position. I think what we're going to have to try to attack, basically, Josh, is, you know, what do we feel like our must haves on this slate are? And, you know, I think we both agreed that we think Freddie Freeman tonight is kind of a must have. You know, he's expensive. He's a stud bat. He's going to cost you. But you can take a couple of those cheaper Atlanta bats with him, perhaps like a Dansby Swanson and, you know, get some salary relief. So how do we feel about starting out with Freeman and Swanson, you know, to get a little bit of salary relief there?
Yeah, that seems reasonable to me. You know, I don't think Swanson's got massive upside, but
no,
in this particular situation, he's a very fine start.
Do we want to add Markakis there?
I don't really think so. I think Freeman, here's the thing. I like just this duo.
Okay.
Because Swanson is going to get quality pitches. He's going to see quality pitches hitting ahead of Freeman.
Right.
So that duo right there, I like that duo. And, you know, being high up in the lineup is going to really benefit them. I think there's some better outfield plays. I just don't think Markakis has the power upside that we want to see in this large slate.
Right. All right. I like that call. I mean, I would love to take, you know, Inciarte or Markakis like we talked about, but you're pinning down your outfield and there's just a lot out there in the outfield today. So Fern, what do you feel like are some of our must-haves here on this slate? What do you want to go?
I mean, I really like the Marlins. That was a great call. I just like Giancarlo. I mean, I feel like he's a lock for a home run tonight. So
okay.
Let me see here.
Well, and we can get some salary relief with Real Muto, presuming he's going to play. We're jumping to that conclusion, but I think he will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Real Muto is, oh, wait a second. Oh, never mind. Yeah. Real Muto, 2,400. Crazy that he's still 2,400.
I know.
Let's just go Real Muto, Stanton, Ozuna.
Yep.
And then, now we got to get second, third, and outfield.
Yeah, and we're going to have to try to find some value here. I know a cheap second baseman, and his name is Jed Lowry.
Ah.
I 2,300 for Lowry is not terrible.
And he should be batting third.
Yeah, and a plus matchup here. You know, I think if you take Lowry, then you want to try to get some of these other A's bats in here. And Chris Davis isn't necessarily expensive, but he's not inexpensive. The question is what are we going to do with third base, Josh?
Well, so here's the thing. If we rolled out
By the way, Matt Joyce in the outfield for the A's, very cheap.
Yeah, bat second.
Yeah.
On base machine too. He gets on base at a high clip. So we got 2,200 left over. If somehow you can find a third baseman, which you should. I mean, there's definitely going to be somebody. I don't know.
Martin Prado. In the Marlins lineup, you just add another Marlins bat in there. Get that correlation, and Prado is batting in the well, he's not in the projected lineup today, but he, since they're facing a lefty, he might get in there.
Well, here, I got something for you. Keep this lineup, but drop down to Robbie Ray.
Okay.
And you got $4,000.
Yeah.
And you can get, oh man, you can almost get Chris Bryant in there, but you can't.
But you can't.
You get Jake Lamb in there, 3,700.
I'd do that. A Jake Lamb one-off. I don't feel bad about that at all.
Yeah. And then if you wanted to, 3,700. And you could get, you can go from Davis to Pollock. So I kind of like Jake Lamb as a one-off.
Yeah, I don't mind Jake Lamb as a one-off either. I mean, this lineup has massive home run upside. Just to be clear, like, you know, I mean, this is a great GPP line that we have built here.
Stanton, Ozuna, Davis, Lamb, Freeman all have multi home run upside.
Yeah, I mean, they're huge, and then you add that K upside with Robbie Ray, who also, I mean, he has a floor. You know, he has a floor.
And Jed Lowry, I mean, he does have a little bit of pop. Like, he, Realmuto, you know, Swanson, I don't know as much about yet. I mean, I know he was, like, a first-round pick, and he's a stud prospect. But, you know, you could get lucky with those, with that trio right there.
Yeah, I really like this lineup as far as GPP guys.
Yeah.
And I think one thing, listeners, we got to be clear about this. In baseball, Fern and I have talked a lot about this. Because this is an event-driven sport, meaning a lot of your scoring is going to come from high-variance events that are extremely difficult to predict, unlike basketball, baseball, MLB season lends itself way more easily and way less stressfully to covering your exposure over multiple games and multiple different lineup combinations in GPPs. And I think that is just strategically, and we're going to have some strategy pods, but Fern, you and I have both agreed that for baseball season, for the most part, we are going to be pretty much on a nightly basis GPP players.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, I've always just been a GPP player. I know that you are a big time cash grinder in NBA, but you know, I think we agree. Like, that everything you just said is just, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is such a high variance sport when it comes to hitters. I mean, pitchers are predictable for the most part, but hitters are so unpredictable. You could have a guy with them with, I mean, Freddie Freeman can go 0-for-4 tonight. You know, we think that he's going to have a huge game, but he could go 0-for-4, you know, and get 0 points. But Russell Westbrook against, you know, the Lakers is not going to give you 0 points. You know, you know what to expect a lot of the time from NBA players and NFL players to another degree too. It's rare that an NFL player is going to get you 0 points, but baseball, I mean, remember guys, you know, you are a Hall of Famer if you can get a hit 33% of the time,
right?
You know, and if you make 33% of your shots in NBA, you're probably going to be riding the bench.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the way to think about it. This is much more difficult to predict. And I think as a result, you know, and I think if, you know, if we're continuing, you know, what we have said previously, Josh, the mantra is here, you know, be smart, have fun, take your share of the prize pool home on a nightly basis. You know, for me, that means lowering my exposure versus NBA. I'm not playing nearly as much money. I am creating a core of of stacks, and I'm exposing myself, in 50%+ to certain pitchers and certain stacks, and then I'm pivoting around them. And it's a little bit less stressful because you have massive upside when those dingers come through, and when they don't come through, they don't come through. And because you've only put, 5% out there on a daily basis, then you're not stressing about it because, you know that you're not out there in a 10 or, $10 or $20 worth of exposure to, just 50-50s when you just can't catch a break with your bats. So I think it's definitely something to consider. It's not that we don't like cash games. It's just that GPPs, I think, for baseball are just a match made in heaven.
Yes, sir. Well said.
All right, guys. Hey, this has been a blast. Please give us feedback on Twitter. If you like the show, if you think there's something we need to change, if you feel like it's working for you or it's, not working for you, we want to hear from you. Tweet at us. I am at Hey Mr. Kane. Of course, Josh, where can people find you?
You can find me at Josh Fern, and definitely, check us out. Patreon.com/lineuplogic if you want to sign up for our our monthly donation of just $10, and every day we'll get you a cheat sheet. I'm working on a spreadsheet that I'm going to send out every day. We got an awesome chat room. And you support the pod, and we put a lot of work into this, so just a little, little contribution in the tip jar.
Yeah, and guys, people using the cheat sheet are cashing pretty regularly because what we're doing is breaking down exactly what we think on the pod, but then we're adding classifications of different things, and we're getting Josh's takes, we're getting my takes, we're getting Spectre and KG out there as well. So you're going to see lots of different ideas, opinions, et cetera. In the cheat sheet, $10 a month is just, there's 6 days a week. Sundays are a little touch and go just because it's family time, but 6 days a week, you're getting a cheat sheet that is, really easy to navigate. So,
and we do multiple slates. So if there's a day slate, we'll do that too.
Yeah, if we have guys who are playing anytime we're playing a slate, we're filling out a cheat sheet. So that is it for us. Good luck in your contest tonight. Talk to us on Twitter. And hey, we can't wait to continue breaking down these MLB slates for you guys. Good luck.